Okay, let's get started this morning. Matthew 5, 38 through 42 will be our main passage, and Brian Mitchell, if you'll get that. Matthew 5, 38 through 42. Then Eli, if you'll get Matthew 5, 38. Freddie, if you'll get Matthew 5, 39. And then Matthew 6, 4, John, if you'll get that. Matthew 6, 4. There is a path in Christianity, and it's absolutely a path, especially in discipleship, and that is the idea to go the extra mile. And if you'll catch a revelation and grasp this idea, this path will work out in all of life. If you can grasp this idea of going the extra mile, it will bless you greatly. It'll bless your marriage. It'll bless your job. And in that case, open up opportunity in finances. It will help you in relationships. It will accelerate your ministry, give you favor with people, open doors of opportunity. I want to look at this idea of going the extra mile out of Matthew 5, 38 through 42.
You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away.
Okay, going the extra mile. Let's talk about the world's view. So here in our passage, Jesus confronts a mindset. And this is the idea that when someone wrongs you in life, that you have now the right to retaliate. You are justified in it. Matthew 5, 38.
You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Okay, remember, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so here, as Jesus says this, you have heard that it was said, this would have been familiar. He's not just talking to just disciples. He's not talking to a group of Pharisees. He's talking to a mass of people. This would have involved all walks of life, all different personalities, all different classes of people, all different religious backgrounds, right? As depending on if they were part of the Pharisees, if they were just trying to make ends meet, whatever. They were familiar with this saying, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, my question this morning, where did they hear that? I'm asking. Anybody know where they would have heard that? Yeah, David? Okay, it was in the law. In the law of Moses is where this would have been stated. In Exodus chapter 21 and in Leviticus chapter 24, God's law speaks about this justified approach to life. The problem is that it drifted away from its context. The reason for this law or idea had to do with, number one, bodily injury. If someone injures you in some way, it had to do with property loss. If someone causes you to lose something in property, it had to ultimately do with death. So, if you injure someone, the law said you should be equally injured. If someone causes you to lose property, like you borrow an ox from someone and you let it die on your watch, you owe them now an ox. If someone commits murder against someone, it's a life for a life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's where this stems from. The issue and what Jesus is challenging is that this became a standard for life. This is now your approach to everything in life. If you wrong me, in any way, I will repay in like manner. And I have that right. I'm justified in that. Even take it a step further. If I agree with you in any way, then I'm justified to oppose you. If I disagree with you in any way, I'm going to oppose your ideas. So, people still do this in many ways, don't they? This hasn't died, this idea. Believers do this. Disciples do this. Right? Society has a saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. In other words, this is an idea of defense. It's a response to wrongs. When something wrong happens, when something offends, when something hurts me in some way, I go into defense mode, and the idea is I'll never let that happen again. You get people, they say things like, they're dead to me. Right? How's that relationship? That son, that friend, they're dead to me. Never again. Never again am I going to give them a chance. Right? And then you campaign other people against them. This is very much this idea that Jesus is talking about is still at work. Couples do this in marriage. Constant fighting and never resolve. Why? Because I'm hurt. Because I'm offended. Because I'm mad. Because I'm mad at you, now I'm justified to oppose you, to resist you. Employees do this at work. Now, you hear this? Ever heard someone say this? I don't get paid to do this. This is an approach. No, it's not my job. I don't get paid enough for this. Right? And now here is this mindset. I disagree with it, so therefore I'm justified in not dealing with it. People do this in ministry. Well, that's not my ministry. Well, that's how it was when I got here. Right? Practice rooms are a constant. Well, that's how it was when I got here. Right? Isn't that the door director's job? Well, come on. They didn't help me when I had my outreach. Why should I help them? This is a world mindset to offense. This is a mindset that is rooted in our preferences, in our pride, in our ego. And Jesus challenges this mindset and this life response. He says, you've heard it said, but I say something different. And again, this is out of context. This whole idea, this whole worldview and approach was taken out of context. They drifted away from its purpose. So let's think secondly about the results of repay. See, there are negative results that flow from this life approach. When you approach whatever area of life this way, number one, it's destructive. We think it's defensive, right? Yeah, no, but they hurt me. Yeah, but they didn't help me. But they let me down. But they left me hanging. So it's defensive. It's protective. That's the idea. But actually, it destroys things. How many couples remain fighting because they won't go the extra mile with their spouse? It could really. I've sat with couples, and it's like, you know, this could be resolved with a sincere apology and changing that. It really could. It's not World War III, but you let it be it. Because you refuse, because it's more about being right than it is about dealing with the issues. How many employees miss out on potential increase by that? Well, it's not my job. Right? I've been over employees, and maybe some of you have, or you have a business, right? There's people you have to tell them every single detail to do, like, okay, now you're going to do this, and then after that, I need you to do this. And then there's, when they finish those tasks, there's no motivation to do anything else, right? They're just going to, I didn't know what else to do. and there's a million other things that they could be doing, right? That's not someone who's going to say, you know what, you need a raise. You know what, you need a bonus. Because you do a whole lot of nothing, and that's wonderful, right? There's so many people, they could be much more financially blessed, could have increased, but because of this mindset. How many ministries take a hit because of this idea? Or how many ministries collapse because of this idea? How much calling is lost? Many are called, but few are chosen. I've had Pastor Greg answer that. What does that mean? Like, God wants people, but He'll only pick some? No, what that means is God calls a lot of people, but only few submit to it and go the extra mile. Because this is a destructive approach. In other words, how many things are breaking down in your life because an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? I'll give based on what I get. I'll participate depending on how much it benefits me. Right? This is destructive. Secondly, is it hinders. This mindset will hinder progress in the kingdom. It will hinder fruitfulness. Right? What you don't understand is you don't even realize when this mindset is at work, you inject it into new converts. By default, you're getting new converts involved in your drama, in your campaign, in your protest. Yeah, I don't really talk to that guy because... Right? And it creates this... It hinders. It hinders potential. If it's this approach, it's going to hinder the potential of other people rising up in ministry, rising up in involvement and becoming part of what God is doing, because again, these offenses and bitternesses at work that are underneath the surface are causing issues. Can hinder couples from ministry. Right? God observes every area of life. Pastor Greg would often say in my discipleship, you, right now, when you go in ministry, you're just a magnified version of yourself. All of these things that work in you become magnified in ministry. And you're a more expensive version of yourself because now we're paying for it. Right? So here, all of this, it hinders you. It hinders progress. It hinders growth. It hinders increase. If your life response is, again, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, only what I get out of it will I put in, then you can't expect to get more. This is the parable of the stewards. You gave me one talent. Here, have your one talent back. What you gave me, that's what I'm putting in. And guess what? It was taken. It hindered increase. Whereas others went the extra mile and there was blessing. There was an unlocking of favor. Thirdly, this mindset, the results of this is it's ungodly. Here Jesus is teaching that this is actually not within His nature. This is not an idea or a life approach for believers, but this is not a life approach for disciples. In our passage, verse 39, he said, I tell you, God is speaking. God is correcting this mindset. It needs to change in you. It needs to change in how you process life. It needs to change in how you process church, in how you approach ministry, in how you view your calling. This is very important that we recognize this. Matthew 5:39.
But I tell you,
not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also.
Okay, this, don't stand up against an evil person. Jesus says, don't oppose those who would do things to you. Don't oppose them. Don't resist it. I want you to understand something this morning. People are going to offend you. Even if you're the pastor. They're going to. People are going to do dumb things. Even under your superior ministry. People are going to, say dumb things. People are not going to do what they should. People are going to be destructive. People are going to make mistakes. People may fail you. They might let you down. People might be rude at you, leave you hanging in life. The question is, what should your response be? Many people, it's, well, write them off. They're done. They're finished. Cut them off. No, not, Jesus says, no, not opposition, not resistance, not retaliation. Go the extra mile. I have heard my pastor say, and I have watched my pastor do it, when people are in a funk against him or in rebellion against him, he goes the extra mile with them. He's more gracious. He's more cautious. Right? He doesn't just, they're off. They're funky. They're wrong. No, he says, I go overboard. Because that's going the extra mile. And I've observed this. Jesus, his challenge, what he's doing, he's giving us a heavenly perspective. Because like I said, if you can catch this revelation, if this can go from your head to your heart, the results will be opposite of these things I talked about. It doesn't destroy, it builds up. It doesn't hinder, it unlocks. It's godly, it's in line with God's word, with his truth. Let's close. Let's think about going the extra mile. Think about the examples Jesus uses in our passage. They are extreme. And I believe that's deliberate. Because the reasons Jesus talks about aren't always the reasons why we would respond this way. We respond for much less. Right? We respond wrong for much less. When was the last time someone slapped you? Like, really? They were mad and slapped you. Some of you are like, my wife, just today. You know, sorry, that's a whole other thing. But really, I can't remember the last time I legit got slapped by someone. So think about that. Jesus, when someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. How many times have you actually had to do that? Literally. When was the last time someone took you to court for your shirt? When was the last time you were taken to court? Right? These are extreme examples here. When was the last time you were forced to do something and forced, or it was a matter of life and death? I have never, to the point of life or death, been forced to do anything in my life. So these are extreme ideas. Jesus says, what if your life approach to things that aren't even as intense as what I'm talking about was to just do a little extra. To go the extra mile. To give them your coat too. To turn the other cheek. Whether it was deserved or not. Right? Many times it's like, well, they don't deserve it. And that's why he's saying it. Right? Whether whether it was seen or not. There's some people, it's like, oh, Pastor Steve, look at me, I've got a chair, I'm putting it away. And then Pastor leaves, and then they leave. Pastor Greg shares that classic story, man. When I first heard, I'm like, who would even do that? A guy who would wait at the front every morning for prayer, and when Pastor Greg would pull up and come in the building, he would be like he was walking out. No, he just stopped by, waited for him to pull up, and as they passed, then he would see him. Because that's what it's about, right? Am I seen? Some people think that's discipleship. Well, I just feel like I'm being overlooked. So I have to be seen. Or pastors only choose those who are really seen doing things. Not at all. What about behind the scenes? Where no one's seeing it. What if you gave whether you felt someone deserved it or not? He says, give to those who ask to borrow from you. There's some people, no, they don't deserve it. No, they're just going to waste it anyway. No, they don't. They could get a job like I have one. What if you gave, Jesus said, whether you feel they deserve? What would that do? What could that unlock in your life? What could that open for you? What could that inspire those around you, the potential of this? What could that unlock in your marriage? What could that unlock in your ministry? See, this approach, going the extra mile, is what makes you blessable in the kingdom. Because number one, it's godly. This is a godly response to life. Because this is what God asks from us. Go extra because this is what God wants me to do. This is what God has told me. Blessing, right? The path of blessing is obedience. We obey God, that unlocks His ability to work in us, to move in us. It's done to honor God. But you know what? He will honor you back. Listen to Matthew 6:4.
Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you.
Okay, give your gifts in private or in secret, and your Father who sees everything will reward you or reward you openly. Right? When Jesus says, you know, those who do things for something, they'll get their reward. Right? There's guys, oh man, and I never understood this, but there's guys, man, if I could just get announced at conference, you'll have your reward. Friday night, woo! Hands laid on, shandalarabaka. And you get out there, if that was your reward, you got it. Because now it's a whole other battle out there. Right? It has to be beyond that. So here, when you do things in secret, there's so many things behind the scenes I did as a disciple, as a concert director, in pastoral ministry, that I'm not worried about whether people see it or not. Because I know at the end of the day, my Heavenly Father sees it. My Heavenly Father is watching. And my Heavenly Father, who sees everything in secret, will reward in open. Going the extra mile. Jesus talks about, in our context, He talks about these life responses where we're looking at. Sermon on the Mount, He speaks about loving people outside of your circle of influence. Right? He says, why do you love people that love you back? How is that honorable? Tax collectors do the same thing. He's making a statement. Why don't you love the unlovable? Reach out to the unreachable. Right, He talks about giving and blessing people. Do it all from a heart that wants to honor and please God, and He'll bless you. Why? Because it's His nature. So, in closing, maybe you lack this heart, this idea of going the extra mile. It's not in there. That's okay. It wasn't always in me either. But I remember my pastor saying, pray for it. Pray for it. Ask God to give you the heart that you need to approach life this way. Expand my heart. God, give me a love for people. Give me that sacrificial, self-sacrificing love for my spouse, for my children. Give me a love and a passion for ministry. It is a privilege to minister. It is a privilege to be involved in the kingdom of God. It is a privilege that your life can be used to save souls. What an amazing thing to be part of. But you have to, God, give me that heart, that understanding. Secondly, not only pray for it, then exercise it. Exercise it. Look for ways to be a blessing. Look for ways to help out. Look for opportunities to, you know, do something that goes the extra mile. Bless someone. Thirdly is trust God. Leave the results to God. There's some men, and this can happen in that large church setting, they feel like they can be missed or overlooked. But at the end of the day, your heavenly Father sees. Right? What happened with Samuel and going to Jesse's house to anoint the king? A lot of sons looked the part. But God says, that's not what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at if they look the part. I'm looking at the heart. Where's David? God didn't miss David. God didn't miss him out in the field. God didn't miss that his dad never even brought him home for that event. God says, no, he's out. Do you have another son? Yes, he's the one. The one working behind the scenes, the one doing things, because his heart was to serve his Father. And that is, trust God with the results. All right, let's open it up for some questions. Yeah, Nate?
So you mentioned, you know, praying about it, also looking for a way to bless people. But do you think another solution possibly to, like, this retaliation mindset is to, like, not take things personally, get your ego in check?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where, you know, praying for this, when you ask God to deal with things in you, by default, it brings things to the surface, right? When you invite God into an area of life, He'll show you what's causing the hindrance, right? So as you do that, yeah, it might be ego. It might be fear, right? You're afraid to step out and get trampled on. Or rejection, yeah, I'm afraid to step out and no, not for you or whatever. But, yeah, absolutely. When we pray for it, God deals with the heart. Okay? Let's just deal with the issues. Yeah.
Do you think part of this also is just, like, short-sightedness?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like people not seeing the big picture?
Yeah, definitely. Because, again, it's if it's not going to pay out right away, why do it? Right? Why do it? But that's long term. You're never going to stop doing things behind the scenes once you get in ministry. Right? I hear guys ask questions. At what point do you, you know, stop doing outreach and let the disciples do it? I've been pastoring for 10 years and I've never stopped outreach. I've always been part of it. Right? It's a heart is what it is, you know, and it's long term. Right? I so appreciate, just to highlight, you know, our pastor, Pastor Hart, has pioneered a church while being a blessing to the Prescott congregation. You realize that? Like, you catch that? That's inside. And that's what I'm talking about. There's a compelling. It drives you. Right? There's things that I do in ministry beyond the pulpit, because I'm compelled. I see the potential of what this could unlock, of what this could inspire. But that has to be deposited. And yes, long term. Absolutely. And that's part of when you pray for it. God gives you vision of what it is. Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah, Anthony?
So if you, like as a pastor, disciple, or whatever, if you sense like there's issues with somebody or some weird funky thing going on, do you as a pastor like try not to, like, you don't speak out, like, I gotta figure out everything that's going on with it. You just give it to God and say, God, part of turning the other cheek, part of saying, you know, no, it's you handle it. Is that the mindset?
No, absolutely. There is a lot that I have learned to give to God, you know. Very much when I first got sent out, you know, you feel this pressure to respond to everything and figure it out, but absolutely learn very quickly, you know, I'm not God. And the words that set me free, Pastor Greg preached the sermon, I am not the Messiah. That set me free. Right? That's God's business. That's God's job. So yeah, when things are happening or things are swirling, I know my God, my Father in heaven, who, the Bible says in Revelations, holds the churches in his hand. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what's needed. I have confidence he's going to help me. Yep, and help me resolve it. However that's going to look. I don't know. He'll guide me. But yeah, I begin with prayer. Absolutely.
That urge to respond to issues immediately. I mean, you can know what you're saying mentally.
Sure.
But if that's a real tendency for someone, number one, where do you think that comes from? And number two, what's the best way to discipline that to get it under control?
Sure. Yeah, for me, it was, for me personally, it was this pressure to make this work. Right? I've got to make this work, you know, somehow. And I got to figure out answers for people, you know. But really, people have to find some revelation for themselves too, you know. And, you know, you do get to a point where you begin to recognize, I think I want this more than they do.
Yeah.
Right? Whether that was marriage counseling, follow-up, you know, whatever. I feel like I want this more than they do. So recognizing, you know, it's not up to you to make it work.
If you do want it more than they do.
Right.
Like, is that something that should be reeled in? Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. Because they have to come to that conclusion themselves. Again, you are not their Messiah. You are not there to fix every detail of their life. Right? They've got to be part of their rescue. Yeah. And so in that, it could be pride, right? Rooted in ego. It could be rooted... For me, it was like the fear of failure. I don't want to fail this. Have to make it work. So, but you know what? Their failure is not on me. That's not a reflection of me. That's their decision. Right? That was revelation. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, David? Yeah, so in that, you know, Pastor Greg taught me years ago, the balance of ministry is being aware of the worst, but expecting the best. I've heard my pastor say, my default is restoration. So, there may be times where it's you put distance, but my default, if someone's ready to live for God, I've learned that grace and mercy, right, those are godly characteristics. So I can exercise those, and I'm aware of the worst. Might not work, but I'm expecting the best. Yep. Good. Good. Any other questions? Very good. Very good. I want us to bow our heads this morning. Going the extra mile. I want you to really understand that this isn't just about do more. Going the extra mile is about having a heart for the things of God, a compelling drive a passion, a stirring, a fire in your heart that says, man, I am in this. This morning, as I talk about this, this sounds foreign. It's almost like a foreign language to you. You recognize right now, you know what? I don't have that compelling drive. I don't have really that, and I'm not saying that it's missing totally, but I don't have that passion for souls, that, you know, putting in the work, going the extra mile. Maybe it's in ministry, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's on your job. It's this thing, it's like, I can't seem to break through in this, but I want to this morning. And I want to ask God to give me that heart. If that's you this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want you to lift your hand right now. Yes, yes. God, give me this drive. Give me this compelling revelation of this. Yes, amen. Now I want to help you to pray this morning. Let me say these words. Say, Dear God in heaven, I repent of selfishness and pride and ego, letting it distract and hinder my ministry, my marriage, my job, every area of life that this mindset has bled into. I judge it and I reject it. Give me a heart after your will, after your purposes, to be a man of God that you have called me to be, the godly husband that you've called me to be, the best employee that you have called me to be. Enable me, quicken me, put your spirit in me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God praise. Father God, right now, Lord, establish this in heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray a change of heart, radical transformation in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father God, you are good and faithful. Seal this in hearts right now in Jesus' name. Lord, turn the tide right now in discipleship in our congregation. I reject and rebuke words that have been spoken against this atmosphere of discipleship. I reject and rebuke the hindrance that has been blinding men in their hearts, Father God. Oh, give us a heart and a passion for your will, God, a heart and a passion for souls. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, let it start in our homes. Make these men of valor. Make these men godly men, Lord, leading their homes. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, guys, very good.
I have another question.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, thinking of the twin, like being a recipient of the extra mile, and like so many people, and you can almost feel like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, kind of torn, you know, people just want to be a blessing.
Yeah.
And like, what
yeah, but why do they want to be a blessing? Right? It's because you have been a blessing over the years.
Yeah.
That's why. That's what I'm saying. It makes you blessable.
Yeah.
You know, I have had, think about this, I have had men like me in my ministry. Some of that has been bad, but praise God, that has been good. I have had good men, but I think that comes back to this issue. It was in me already. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. All right. Bless you guys.